I've been looking forward to this day for quite some time. But I will be honest with you, there's another day I'm looking forward to even more. I don't know when that day's coming. All I can do is just keep looking forward, keep looking forward. That day that I'm looking forward to is when I get to see Jesus face to face again. Because He's promised me in the Word of God that I will. Amen. That promise is because I have put my faith and my trust in Him as my Lord and as my Savior. That's the Easter story. That's the Easter story. We have seen the portrayed the events surrounding Easter and what led up to the crucifixion, what led up to the resurrection and those events and what happened immediately following the resurrection. Began last Sunday when we celebrated Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the crowd shouted, "Hosanna! Hosanna! The King of Kings, our Messiah, is here." And honored Him and honored Him. And by the end of the week, on Friday, they were cursing Him, hollering out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And they did, and they crucified Him. It was all part of God's plan. Amen. Slain from the foundations of the world, the Scripture says. So before you were even born, God made a plan for you. A way for you to receive Christ and to share the resurrection with Him. Meaning this old body you're in, some are young bodies, some are very fit bodies. Others of us are not so young and not so fit, okay? But regardless of who you are, where you are, there's going to come a point in time, a day, when that old body's going to give out. Then what? Then what? It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we place our faith and our trust in Him, then we share in the resurrection. I want to talk to you kind of briefly, actually, today about the 3 days surrounding the resurrection. Friday was the day of the crucifixion. Put Him in the tomb. He was in the tomb all day. Saturday, Sunday morning, on the third day, He arose. He rose from the dead. But on that, you know, a lot of stuff happened on that Friday. A lot of stuff happened. The beatings, the crucifixion, the mocking, all that stuff, the death. A lot of things happened on Sunday. Big time stuff happened on Sunday, okay? Not a lot is mentioned and not a lot is told about Saturday. I want to talk to you about Saturday. Today is like Saturday. And I know, yes, I'm talking about Saturday and the day that comes between Friday and Sunday. And you're sitting here thinking, this guy's lost it. He doesn't even know what day it is. Today's Easter Sunday, and he doesn't even know it. Let me explain. Between Jesus' burial and His resurrection on Sunday, there was a Saturday. Good Friday is famous, and Easter Sunday is awesome and gets a lot of attention. And we put a lot of attention on these 2 days, and rightly so. But in between those 2 days is a day that doesn't get a lot of attention. That Saturday must have been a day of crushing disappointment. It was a time when promises had been made, but they were not yet fulfilled. Jesus had said He would come back. He said death wouldn't be the end of the story. He had promised that if the temple of His body were torn down, it would be rebuilt in 3 days. But it was Saturday, and nothing was taking place. For His disciples, Saturday was filled with nothing but loss. Jesus, his body lay dead, decaying, and cold in a tomb sealed by a giant rock. Behind that rock was the death of all their dreams. And Jesus' promise of a resurrection seemed absolutely crazy. Sunday was coming, but it was only Saturday. I'm sure that for the disciples, Saturday lasted way too long. For some of them, it was too much to handle. Why do you think the two disciples on the road to Emmaus had such a gloomy attitude? They probably thought this. They probably thought, "We thought Jesus was going to be the one. He sure showed a lot of potential. Oh well, the party's over. Unbeknownst to them, Jesus was about to pull off the ultimate defeat. Matter of fact, when he did, he used the famous line from the Terminator series, way before Arnold Schwarzenegger made it famous. He said, "I'll be back." I don't know if he used their accent. I don't know if he went, "I'll be back." Or if he just told his disciples, "Hey, I will be back. I am coming back." And they heard that. And they had a hope in that. But when it came right down to it, they just didn't have a lot to hold on to with that hope. It was words. It was about to happen. They just didn't know it yet. We are today living in the spirit of an extended Saturday. And I mean that because Jesus, after the resurrection, he ascended to heaven. He ascended to heaven. And he said, "I'll be back." But he's not returned yet. We have a living Savior, so we have a living hope. God never forgets his promises. Jesus will come back and we will see him face to face. But not yet. It's still Saturday for us. And sometimes Saturday lasts way too long. Saturday is like when a child, he knows that he will get to meet his daddy for the first time in heaven, but right now all he has is pictures to look at. That's a long Saturday. Saturday is like when a person has the promise of a body free from pain or disease or physical ailments, but for now, he still has to struggle with the pain that this body presents. And that can be a long, long Saturday. Saturday is like when we celebrate birthdays and holidays, but we feel the weight of that empty chair at the table. It's a long Saturday. And there are other things that make Saturday long, and sometimes we need to take every moment and celebrate the Saturdays. I ran across a picture this week that I found that kind of represents a little portion of this. Sometimes our precious, beautiful baby children do things and we think to ourselves, "Oh my goodness, will this ever end? Will this ever..." Folks, Saturday is a good day too. Saturday is a great day too. The trouble with Saturday is that we have no clue when it will end. Jesus specifically told us that no one but the Father knows the hour or the date of his return, and none of us knows for certain when our day will come. Whether Jesus comes back and meets us or we die and meet him. But nonetheless, we have the hope and the promise that we as believers will see him face to face. But for now, we just have to trust that Sunday is on its way. Sunday's coming. I don't know the answer to those things when either. But one thing I do know for sure. Today, I'm one day closer than yesterday. By whatever means, whether he splits the sky and comes back and picks me up, or I die, my body gives out, and I go and meet him face to face. But one of these days, I guarantee you, I'm having a Sunday. Amen. The reason I can say that, the reason I know that, is because I have confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord. Just like the scripture says, I've confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And I believe in my heart that what we just saw portrayed, that God raised him from the dead, actually took place. I believe that. And the Bible tells me that if I confess Jesus with my heart and I believe that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. And what saved means is that I have an eternal destination in heaven and not in hell. There is no other places, folks. There's either heaven or there's hell. Sometimes we would like to sugarcoat it and say, "Well, but there's a holding place and there's still a chance." And you know, the scripture doesn't really teach that. And if we're going to, like I told, we've been talking about the vision of this church. We're going to be a church that welcomes, okay? So again, if you're a guest of ours today, oh, welcome. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We want to welcome. We want to receive you into us and just in fellowship with you. And we're going to go out and eat in a little while and have a big old time. We want you to celebrate with us. We're going to be a church that's based on the Word of God. Okay? Not based on traditions, not based on feelings, not based on experiences. We're going to be based on the Word of God and what the Word of God says. Okay? We're also going to be a church that works. Now, what you saw happen today, there was a lot of work that went into this. There's a lot of work that's taking place and has taken place already for the meal that we're going to have out there. There's other work. Maybe you were here today because somebody met you out somewhere at one of the stores or some other place and handed you a flyer with a cookie in it. I hope you got a cookie. I didn't get one of those cookies. But they knew I was coming anyway, so why bother the invitation? But maybe you're here because of that. Well, guess what? That's work. Somebody went out to do that to give you that invitation and say, here, come and enjoy Easter with us. That's work, and we're going to be that kind of church. But I got to tell you that we will always be the church that preaches that there is one way to salvation, there is one way to heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. He made it very, you may look at it and say, well, that's pretty narrow-minded, but I look at it and say, he took all the questions and difficulty out of it. It's very simple for me. And sometimes I need very, very simple. And he said this, it's very simple. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. Done. You made it easy for me. All I do is connect the dots. Connect my little dot here to the dot in heaven by going through the dot of Jesus Christ. It's simple. And sometimes I need simple. Today we celebrate Easter. It's a celebration because Jesus rose from the grave, and by doing so, he defeated death once and for all. But that doesn't mean that everybody wins. Jesus came for all, but not all receive. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Only those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior are the winners. There will come a day, the Bible says, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I love the passage in Scripture when he asked Peter, who do people say that I am? And Peter answered, well, some people say, you know, Moses or Elijah, a prophet, you know, some people. And he said, no. Pete, listen to me. Who do you say that I am? And Peter stopped and he said, and I'm going to do it from old King James English because that's how I memorized it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My hope and my prayer, you can clap for that. Come on, that's worth clapping for. My hope and my prayer for you is that if I ask you the question, who do you say that Jesus is? My hope and my prayer for you is that you can honestly say, he is the Christ. He is the Son of the living Lord. And if you have not placed your faith and your trust in him, your eternal salvation in him, today is your day. Today is your day. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for many, that day will come one day too late. Some people have the idea, well, when that happens, I will get right with Jesus. You don't get the warning sometimes. And besides that, why wait? Because Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. The good life now. Trust him today, would you? And live the rest of this Saturday with a hope and assurance of an eternal in heaven. Trust him today and begin living a life that has a future. And when you can look at it and say, oh man, I'm in Saturday. But Sunday's coming. But Sunday is coming. And maybe you're struggling like the disciples were. And maybe you're discouraged because of this Saturday time that we're in. Maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, they said I'd have a better life if I received Jesus. And the problem is I'm just really struggling. And I have all these doubts. I want to tell you, don't lose hope. God keeps his promises. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your faith would be restored, that you would be encouraged and strengthened to live through this Saturday time. If that's you today, if you're struggling and you're thinking, man, you know, I know he said he would be back. I believe that. But it's just, I'm having a hard time because it doesn't seem like it. And it's Saturday is way too long. And I'm just, I want to pray for you right now. Father in heaven, Lord, for those of us in this room that struggle with living in Saturday, Father, I pray that you would, all through the power of your Spirit, that you would encourage us, that you would empower us, that you would fit us for the job ahead of us. Father, as I tell this church time and time again, if there is still breath in me, you still have a plan for me. And Father, as best I can tell, everybody in this room is still breathing. So I know that you have a plan for each and every one of them. Here and now, in the Saturday time. So Father, encourage us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to close this message with something I ran across. And it's a story that, it's actually, Billy Graham wrote this. And I figure if there's any good way to end, Billy Graham is a good start. Christ has risen from the dead, and because he lives, we who know him shall live also. In the resurrection, Jesus Christ conquered sin and death and is alive forevermore. We worship a risen, living Savior who has promised to give immortality to all those who believe in his name. No longer do men and women need to stumble in the fog of the darkness of hopelessness. A light shines brighter than the noonday sun, offering hope to everyone who has been born again. Jesus promised, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Long ago, Job asked, if mortals die, can they live again? We expect death. But we always have a glimmer of hope that medical science will discover something that will keep us alive a little bit longer. Yet death carries with it a certain dread. From the day that Abel was killed, people have dreaded death. It's been an enemy, the great mysterious monster that makes people quake with fear. The Bible always links sin and death together. It says the sting of death is sin. And though through one man sin entered the world and through death, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Death stalks the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated. Death is no respecter of race, color, or creed. Its shadow haunts us day and night. We never know when the moment of death will come for us. Is there any hope? Is there any possibility of immortality? I take you to an empty tomb in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea. Mary Magdalene, and Salome had gone to anoint the body of the crucified Christ. They had been startled to find the tomb empty. The angel sat on the stone by the door of the tomb and he said, I know you are looking for Jesus. Then the angel said, but he's not here. He has risen. The greatest news that mortal ear has ever heard is the news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, just as he promised. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the chief proof of the Christian faith. It is the truth that lies at the very foundation of the gospel. Other doctrines of the Christian faith may be important, but the resurrection is essential. Without a belief in the resurrection, there can be no personal salvation. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. In the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the answer to the greatest question of all the ages. If mortals die, can they live again? Well, the Bible teaches that because Christ lives, we also shall live. The greatest truth that you can ever hear is that Jesus Christ died, but he rose again. And that you, too, will die, but can rise again to a newness of life. The Bible teaches the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's not a spiritual resurrection, as some would have us believe. His very body was raised by God from the dead, and someday we will see him. The resurrected Christ also lives today in another very real sense in the heart of every true believer. Though he and his glorified body are in heaven, yet through the Holy Spirit he dwells in the heart of every Christian. The scripture says Christ lives in you, and this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. the Christ of God, in whom the fullness of God lives in a human body, condescends to live within the hearts of people. This is a mystery that is beyond comprehension, yet it is gloriously true. When we come to Jesus Christ, we bring everything we have, our bodies with all our members, our faculties, our talents, our time, our money, our possessions, our hearts, our will, and they're all His. Our faces become the faces in which the resurrected Christ shows forth His beauty and His glory. Our eyes become the eyes of the resurrected Christ to exhibit His sympathy and His tenderness. He wants to look on the world's needs through your eyes. Your eyes should never be lent to the devil. They belong to God. Be careful how you use your eyes. Our lips become the lips of the resurrected Christ to speak His messages. The harsh, unkind words that remain unspoken. Other people marvel at the gracious words that come out of our mouths. While He was on the earth, people said, "No man ever spoke like this man." And this is the one who lives within you. Your lips become an instrument for the expression of His message. His words are spirit and life. The word going forth out of His mouth cannot return unto Him void. Remember, your lips are His. They too should never be lent to the devil. Our minds become the mind of the resurrected Christ. The Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Cultivate spiritual thinking. Your intellect becomes Him, becomes His, so that He may plan through you and that you may be an instrument for the realization of His purpose. Yield your mind to Him so that you may know His secrets and be kept in His will. Never lend your mind to the devil. The devil, the mind is the devil's favorite avenue of attack. Our hands become the hands of the resurrected Christ to act on His impulse. We will work, or He will work through us. The living Christ dwells in our hearts and gives us power to live the victorious life. The Apostle Paul said that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is ours to enable us to live for Him. The feet of the Christian need to tread the narrow path that the Savior trod, keeping in step with Him through the earthly pilgrimage. He lives in you. Let your feet direct you only to those places where Christ wants you to go. We are to allow the resurrected Christ to allocate our time as His own, to control our money as His own, to energize our talents, our zeal, and our ability with His resurrected life, to have complete right of way throughout our beings. He does not want to be an apartment in our house. He claims our entire house from attic to cellar. Not only does the resurrection give us hope of immortality, but also provides life with a capital L, here and now. Before the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals only on certain occasions and for special tasks. But now, after the resurrection, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, dwells in the heart of every believer to give us supernatural power in living our daily lives. The Scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead on that first Easter will raise us from the dead if the Spirit lives in us. Call upon His resources. His grace is more than sufficient. He will cause you to always triumph over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Perhaps you do not know the power of the resurrected Christ. You've never knelt at the foot of the cross and never had your sins forgiven on that first Good Friday. Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. He took your judgment, your sin, and your death. The Scripture teaches, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." It also says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. On the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead. That fact is a guarantee that the atoning work of the cross, of Christ on the cross, was acceptable to God in your place. Now you need to receive Him and to believe on Him. God says that He will clothe you in His righteousness. Everyone can know the power of the resurrected Christ. Through disappointments and trials, through all the circumstances of life, the resurrected Christ will go forth with you if you will put your faith and your trust in Him. So many people are confused, lonely, and discouraged. Oh, give your life to Christ. Let Him transform your life so that you will have a glow on your face, a spring in your step, and joy in your soul. First, you need to confess your sins. Second, by faith, receive him as your Savior. Will you do that today? If you will, the resurrected Christ will come to live in you. That's what we're about, folks. That's why we're here. There are many reasons why we exist. One of those is to know Christ. And the other one is to make him known. To know the power of the resurrection. To have experienced the resurrection power within us because we've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Believed that what the Bible says about Jesus and the resurrection was true. And then to tell that story to others who would believe. Is that you today? There's some folks in the room that I don't even know. And I don't know where you are. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know where you are in relationship with Christ. But here's what I do know. It's Saturday. It's only one day away from Sunday. And we don't have a good timetable. I've got my grandmother's pocket watch. And it holds good time. But it doesn't tell me when Christ is coming back. See, we don't know. I'm not trying to scare you into saying, you know what, turn or burn. That's not what I'm after. What I'm saying is, whatever time you've got left in this Saturday can be filled with hope and with joy and with a future guaranteed for you. Wouldn't you like to finish your life on this earth that way? If that's you, I want to offer you, I'm going to be standing in front. My wife, Rebecca, is going to be standing with me. One of our deacons and his wife is going to be in the front also. If that's you, I want you to come and talk to me about that. I would love to share with you and lead you into the point where you can confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe for the first time. Maybe you did that a while back, but you know, your life just really there's been no change. There's been no evidence in your life. And what is it they say? The proof is in the pudding. Well, maybe you can sit there and honestly say, you know what? I went through some motions, and when I was little, the mama took me to the preacher, and I shook his hand, and he asked me to repeat some words after him. I did that, and they dunked me in the bathtub. This is kind of foreign to me. I really don't know. Folks, if that's you, we need to visit. You need to come see me. I would love to walk you through that. It very well may be that you never truly gave your to Jesus. Maybe you were just following some rules or some ritual or something. Or it may be that you really did, but then you kind of abandoned that, and now you need to come back. It may be that you found a home here at Dolan Baptist Church. You thought, you know what, I like this guy. The preacher's not that great, but the music's cool, and I like what they do with the kids, and I'd like to be here. I can put up with the preaching, but I really like the people around here. If that's you, and you would like to join this church, you need to come see me. We can make that happen too. Whatever your need is, we're here for you. Also, maybe you don't need to talk to me. Maybe you don't want to talk to me. Maybe you don't want to talk to anybody else. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and kneel and talk straight to the Father. You see, that was bought for you too by the resurrection. Jesus ascended to the Father, and he now is our mediator. He is our high priest. You don't have to go through a priest. You go through Jesus. See, it's always all through Jesus Christ. Always. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. And I just want you to know, this is your time. This is your time. If you felt the tug of the Holy Spirit, if you felt prompted by the Holy Spirit during this time, this is your time to respond. You have the news. You have the words. Now what do you do with them? What do you do with them? You see, it's off my back. That's on you. What do you do about what you've heard? Father, help us. Help us to be genuine. Help us to be real. Father, help us to desire to live through this Saturday for you. Help us to desire to live through whatever the rest of this life holds for us. Help us to live it. Help us to want to live it with the hope that Sunday's coming and not the other way where we go, I better live it up now because Sunday's coming. Lord, Sunday's a great day. When we see Jesus again face to face is a fabulous day. Help us to look forward to that day, Father. And the only way we can do it is through Jesus Christ. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.